First case, please.
Thank you. The first case tonight is 11602. Zahai Anad Rehoboth Hospitality LLC is seeking a variance to reduce the parking spaces required for a hotel or motel. Section 115-162A of the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance. The property is located on the south side of Airport Road, approximately 210 feet southwest of Route 1. The 911 address is 36012 Airport Road, Rehoboth Beach. The zoning district is C1. The tax map is District 334, Map 13, Parcel 178.02. Specifically, they're asking a 0.3 variance from the required 1.5 parking spaces. There were zero letters of support. There was one letter in opposition to, stating the concerns with the number of parking spaces and improvements that could impact the congested area and concern about overflow parking into the surrounding properties. And then there were no mail returns. Thank you.
Okay, and thank you.
Mr. Chairman, so the board knows, I have a conflict on this case. Mr. Vince Robertson is here this evening to sit in my stead for this application.
Okay. Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman.
Good evening,
members of the board. Tim Willard with Fuquayori Willard here in Georgetown on behalf of the applicant. The owner of the property is actually Sashad Hanad Rehoboth Hospitality LLC. They're represented here tonight by Lynn Hopkins, who is with SSN Management Company, and she helps manage this particular site. The site is known as American, a hotel. It's got a swimming pool and a lobby. And also here tonight is John Murray with Kirchner Engineering.
Excuse me, are they going to be speaking?
Yes.
Would you have them get them sworn in, please, first?
Oh, please. Yep.
Yeah, before we get started. Do you swear them in for me?
Usually Mr. Sharp does that. If you would have...
Lynn Hopkins.
Yeah, you'd have them both come up. Yeah. Do you swear that the testimony that you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I don't know if that's the standard oath, but it'll work for this evening.
Yes, so. It will.
All right,
thank you. Thank you, sir. Now proceed.
Yeah, you've already heard a little bit about the property. It's located on Airport Road, which is a road that enters onto a coastal highway. It's got a little bit of curve to it. This property is approximately a little over two acres. Just going to summarize the application. Now that what exists there is a hotel with 49 rooms, and your code says you need 1.5 room of parking spaces per room, one parking space for every three employees and two for a management or owner. So currently now as exists, under the old code, they needed 74 spaces and they have 74 spaces. We have a photo. Do you have the work behind that? Maybe that's easier to see if you don't mind I refer to it. Can all the members see that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very, very simply, this area that's not developed, that just is a open space, is where they intend to expand their hotel to add some rooms, mm-hmm. In fact, 22 rooms. So according to your new code, you have to address the parking issue, and it's pretty much stayed the same as far as the numbers, the 1.5, one for every three employees and two for management. So technically now they're required to have 109, they have 74. What we've proposed is 87, which is somewhat short of what's needed. And as Ms. Cornwell indicated, it's about a 0.3. So instead of 1.5, they're asking for close to 1.2. And for some reasons that we're going to get into tonight, hopefully, based on your statutory requirements, we think it's a reasonable expansion, because quite frankly, it's rare that they need what they got. So if I could just briefly touch on the uniqueness of the property, as you can see by the site plan, which you should have a copy of, it's not actually a rectangle. It's got sort of the curvature in Airport Road slightly, and it's got a triangular portion to the left. What else makes it unique is it's got a stormwater pond on one side, and there's a 15-foot cross-access easement to the east side of the property. So there's really no room to expansion there. As far as cannot otherwise be developed, the plan we've proposed is simply to use the existing parking area, because what's significant is, in your wisdom or the council's wisdom, is some of the parking regulations have changed. In fact, they've allowed for a certain amount of four compact spaces, which are, and John's going to get into this more detail, which are a little bit smaller, but you can have them if they're four in a row. Because of those new standards and because of the way John's redesigned it, we're able to get 87 out of that. And that's the only way we can go. It was not created by the applicant. That is the uniqueness of this property. They actually bought it in 2013. They weren't part of the planning, or they didn't design the stormwater or any part of it. Will it alter the essential area? We submit that it will not. Behind here is God's Way. Here's an auto parts store. Or no, it's auto, Hazard Auto Parts, the Big Chill Cantina, Liquid Surf Shop, Rehoboth Beach. I have not had the opportunity to talk to Mr. Hazard. I did read his letter today because I just saw it for the first time. And I will submit to you, and you may hear some testimony, that they've never had an issue with overflow parking. In fact, this road here is not really a road. That's mislabeled. This is private. He chains that off here and here every night anyway. I don't know if there's some issues with the cantina there, but as Lynn will tell you, they've never had overflow, and it wouldn't make sense to go that way if they did. So we'd certainly address his concerns if there were specific things. So that's all I have right now. I'd like to introduce John Murray. He can talk a little bit more about the site plan.
Good evening. My name is John Murray. I'm a project manager with Kircher Engineering, located here in Georgetown, 413 East Market Street. As Tim mentioned, we were hired by the applicant to work with them to develop a plan for the expansion of their hotel. There's 49 rooms in the existing hotel now, and it was the desire of the client to add an additional 22 rooms to keep up with the demand that they have, especially during this time of year, the peak summer season. When looking at the site plan, unfortunately, based on the code for parking requirements, we really are not afforded very much space at all to expand the parking facility for what we need. You can see on your plan that the Airport Road right-of-way is to our north of the existing parking lot. To the east side of the existing hotel is the aforementioned cross-access easement, of which we cannot obviously have enough room for parking spaces inside of, nor would we want to have parking spaces inside of. The space beyond the existing hotel to the south is the adjacent property, with only 5 feet between the building itself and the property line. And as Tim mentioned, there's an existing stormwater management facility to the west of the existing parking lot that was required by Denerec to meet their stormwater management requirements. The plan that you see before you is taking the existing bounds of the parking facility and enhancing it based on what the current code will allow for parking. The old code required that a minimum of 200 square feet of area be provided for each parking space, or 10 by 20 typically parking stall. The new code allows a reduction to 162 for a standard parking space, which allows us 9 by 18. So by restriping the parking lot to a minimum 9 by 18 parking stall, we're able to increase the parking from 74 parking stalls to 87. Of those 87 parking stalls, we're increasing the number of ADA compliant handicap parking stalls from 2 to 4. We're also allowing for 17 parking stalls to be considered compact parking stalls. By code, we're allowed up to 20%. We're actually just a hair below that at 19.7, but effectively 20%. The code allows for those spaces to be 8 feet wide, and if I'm not mistaken, 17 feet long. The stalls themselves are all the same length. They're all 18 feet long. So the compact car parking spaces, the only difference between those and a standard parking stall is that they're 1 foot narrower. At 8 feet. Based on our calculations, by taking out the two parking stalls that we're leaving for six employees for their parking, that leaves us with a total of 85 parking stalls. When you take that out of the 71 total rentable rooms, that actually gives us 1.2 parking stalls per rental room. I'll mention quickly, I know that Tim's going to touch on, we also did a quick parking count yesterday morning, actually, at 6 a.m., just to hopefully make sure that no one had left yet. And at 46 rooms rented, there were 48 cars in the parking lot at that time. One of those was actually the manager's car. There were 26 vacant parking spaces at that time. Just figured I'd mention that into the record. Unless you have any questions, that's all I have for now.
Does any member have any question at this time?
Did you say the parking is normally a 10 by 20s, right? Or would you say 8 by what?
Under the old code, we were required to provide 200 square feet of parking area for a parking stall, which was traditionally done with a 10-foot wide and 20-foot deep stall.
Right.
The new code allows for that to be 162 square feet.
Right.
So that's where we get our 9 by 18 parking stall.
Gotcha. So you're 1 foot short of the
required. 1 foot narrower, and then the compact car parking stalls, for all intents and purposes, are the same dimension as a handicap parking stall. Parking stall for handicap parking is 8 foot wide, as is the compact.
Thank you.
But just to follow up, because I'm not sure, I want to make that clear. They're not asking for a variance on the size. County Council changed that ordinance several years ago to reduce the size of the lot, or the spaces.
Right.
So that's code compliant. The number of spaces, not the size of the spaces. That
correct,
we're
correct. This is a request for a reduction in the number of required parking stalls, not the area of the parking stalls
you're
being provided.
Yeah, you're meeting the square footage.
Yeah,
correct.
Okay.
I got a question, too. Where the proposed hotel is? To the right of that, and there's a walkway. How come you don't use that for parking there? Where it is, right? Yeah, no, right there. Yes.
In this area here?
No, to the right.
To farther the right.
Over.
I just want to make sure. If you can point out your plan.
Right here. There's a walkway. How come you can't park in here?
That's the hotel there now. The hotel itself is an L shape, so you can see it's bounced. It comes up near this landscape bed. It comes down, forms an L. This area over here right now is just a grass space. I think right now the owners of the property are using it for a small dog walk area. They permit pets at this hotel, so it's marked right now for use or people to kind of take their pets outside.
This is going butt right to the other hotel?
Correct.
Okay.
It would share that wall. Architecturally, you know, I'm not exactly sure what that would entail in terms of matching them up, but it would be directly contacted to that western wall of that L.
So no parking places in there then, okay.
Correct.
Okay.
It might be easier to see. This is the roof of the hotel, the existing hotel.
So gotcha.
They just want to come out here and add some rooms.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, I understand now.
Okay, any other?
Go ahead, Mr. Kelly.
When the hotel is fully booked, you only have two people on staff working?
The parking requirements is that we provide one parking stall per every three employees, and I believe by code it states that it's on the most occupied shift. So with six employees on a maximum shift, that would be two parking stalls.
Okay. I'm sure this has already been said probably five times already, but just give me the number of rooms now total and the number of proposed total rooms.
49 existing rooms now.
Okay.
22 are proposed.
22 more.
Correct. So that'd be a total of 71 rooms.
Okay. Just I was curious because you said the 46 rooms were rented, and I couldn't remember how that.
That was just based on their actual occupancy rented rooms.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
I'm just going to have a few questions for Ms. Hopkins.
Okay, please.
Ms. Hopkins, is it correct? You're involved with the management of American Inn?
That is correct, yes.
American.
Yes.
I'm going to just ask you a question about this document. It's entitled American Rehoboth Beach, and it has 2010, 2011, all the way through 2015. It has month and occupancy. You familiar with these occupancy statistics?
Yes, I am.
And just to summarize, and I'm going to hand this up if it's okay. For the months of January, February, March, April, is it rare to have occupancy exceed 30-40%?
No, would not exceed that.
And just briefly looking at this, you can see your highest occupancy is in July and August.
Correct.
And June even is 70%.
Correct.
September, October, 60% and 50%.
Correct.
So it's consistently, actually 2014 was the only time you got to 90 in July and August, that's correct?
Correct.
In the previous year, it was more like 75 for July and August.
Has it ever been 100%?
Well, it was Saturday. They had 49 rooms and, right?
Correct.
That was the next question I was going to ask, not even on 4th of July.
Can I hand this up?
100%?
Yeah, this Saturday it was. Okay. And actually we have some statistics on that. I'll hand this up so you can see the occupancy. That way?
You'd hand them down there to the secretary, please.
I'm sorry. You can see that just by sheer occupancy alone, July and August are the only times that maybe you need that extra. And when you think about the 1.5, we'll give you this next statistic that just happened this weekend. On Friday, how many rooms were rented?
We had 49 rooms.
And this is you, I think you emailed John about this,
yes,
right?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
And how many cars were there?
42 cars in the parking lot, or 42 cars from our guest.
Well, how can that be? You have less cars than people.
We have families that come in and rent two rooms where the children or teenagers are usually in one room and the parents are in the other, but they all arrive in the same vehicle.
Okay.
And on Saturday, however, you rented 46 rooms, but you had 48 cars.
Right. On that particular night, we did have two rooms that had two vehicles.
Okay. I'll hand that up, too. And you're familiar with the parking lot,
yes.
Correct? So the last thing I have, gentlemen, is a picture of the parking lot Sunday morning at 6 a.m., which shows, there are four pictures, which show parking lot, you know, one side kind of filled, the other side has a few empty spaces, the other side filled. And mind you, this is 100% rarely happens. And the last picture on there, or the, on the bottom of the second page, shows that there are approximately 10 to 15 spaces that are open. So in the worst case scenario, based on 5 years of history, if you grant this variance and they fill every room, there'll still be openings. Spaces.
And that's all I have for Ms. Hopkins, unless you have questions for her.
Are there any questions from members of the board for Ms. Hopkins?
So your biggest, your lowest is in January, probably somewhere in there, and you're during the summer months is when you really, really thrive. But that's normal.
July and August seems to be in every one.
Okay.
And business is good. You may be aware that Fairfield, there's another hotel that was built across the street. So at that time of year, business is good. So all I have really to do is just to reiterate the reasons why we think that this variance should be granted. I've already touched on the uniqueness of the property, its shape, the various dimensions of it with the stormwater already in place and the cross-access easement. And we submit that to reasonably use the property as permitted as an existing hotel, an expansion into the non-parking area would require more parking. The applicant can provide more parking, but not a total amount required by code. A history of the parking needs for the site reveal that reasonable use would include an expansion with limited parking, and that such expansion could not otherwise be developed. I also submit, for what it's worth, that you know they don't want to provide a service for their customers, that is a place to lodge and not have them have enough parking. So it wouldn't be a really good business decision. It's not created, that is the uniqueness of the property by the applicant. They bought it as it was shaped. They didn't plan it that way. It will not alter the essential character. You can see it's commercial already, surrounded by various commercial use. There doesn't seem to be any objection by here, and there's enough to see buffers there that's already in place. And finally, it's the minimum. I think Mr. Murray did a pretty good job using the current code, adopting it, keeping all the landscape islands, but actually getting some more space out of it. And we submit to you that it's probably more than is needed anyway. That's all I have.
Okay. And are there any questions from members of the board? We'll start down with you, Mr. Mills.
No other questions.
And Mr. Hudson?
Just to make sure I'm clear about the stormwater, was there any change in the stormwater requirements for this addition?
John will have to take that.
In terms of requirements themselves, the stormwater requirements, the regulations now are different than what they were when this was adopted. If we move forward, our plan is to actually not use the existing stormwater management facility that's there and do something that's independent that will allow the water to infiltrate. It kind of opens up a can of worms with Denerec. If we tie into the pond that's there, then we do the whole analysis under the new regulations, and they're much more restrictive than what they were before. But there would not be a change to the existing stormwater facility, the pond that's on the west side of the site now.
Okay, so the answer to my question, the stormwater has not changed to impact what you're asking for tonight.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Ritter?
I'm sorry. to follow up on that. If you abandon that stormwater space, would that then be available for any additional parking spaces, or?
If there wasn't a need to have the stormwater management facility there, then obviously there would be room there for the expansion. But the pond itself is needed based on the stormwater, the code that was in place when the site was developed.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Mr. Ribbon?
No questions.
Mr. Wortman?
No questions.
Any further questions?
Yeah, just two. Follow up on stormwater management. Just, that's for John. If you're going to redevelop the property, why couldn't you do underground stormwater management and put the parking deck over top of it? Have you guys explored that?
In that area?
Or just, I mean, if you're going to have to do a new stormwater management system on there, why couldn't you consolidate it all with underground parking and deck over the whole thing and have...
Well, the stormwater system that would go in wouldn't have to address the whole site. The new system would only have to address the building area that would be added itself. In terms of the technical side of things, the pond itself, based on its shape, it's a rather large pond. I know that the overhead doesn't really do it justice for the plan, but it's a pretty big pond. To go underground and get the equivalent storage of what that pond provides would require quite a bit more impact. We wouldn't be able to get that area within the area that the pond is, just based on the limitations of the structures that we use underground to get the storage. So not only would there be an impact to that area, but you'd probably want to be eating into a good chunk of the site just to get the volume you needed.
Okay, well, that helps understand that. And the other one that, you know, depending on which way the board goes on this, that seems to me that needs to be answered a little better, and this is, I guess, a question for Tim, is, you know, that it wasn't created by the applicant, but it seems like everything's fine the way it is now. It strikes me that I need an answer. You're looking to add on to the building, so doesn't that, as the applicant, create the need for the variance?
Yeah, and this is a question that sometimes the Supreme Court even wrestles with, because I don't think it's very rare to get any application that one can argue exactly that. Well, we wouldn't be here if you didn't need a variance, okay? And my reading of the law is there's got to be some element to the property that makes it somewhat unique that they didn't create. So I agree with you, I almost said Mr. Sharp, that you know, that's a legitimate question. It's sort of somewhat illogical to the extent every variance that comes before the board, it's created by the very nature, the very fact that they're asking for it, and they created the need for the variance. My argument to that is, yeah, I think it's better addressed, or at least that's our best foot forward, is this property is somewhat unique, and they're just trying to get a reasonable use out of it. That's why they've decided just to use the area that's really not used, except for the dogs, and they may have to adapt with that. There's some open space in the front. So that's the only answer I have for that.
Okay. No, that's fine.
And there are Supreme Court cases that have kind of done gymnastics with that logic. And
No, and I'm familiar with that, but you really didn't touch on that aspect of it during the presentation, so I wanted to give you an opportunity to answer that question. So.
Okay.
That's fine. Thanks.
I do have what I've submitted as proposed findings for what they're worth. I'll give them.
Mr. Ritter?
So you're saying you're hanging your hat on the uniqueness of that it is the circumstances and conditions and the narrowness,
yes, sir,
of the lot and the irregularity of the lot also?
Yeah, and I think yes we are.
That's what you're hanging your hat on, uniqueness, right? You would say that pretty much falls in the uniqueness portion of the standards that we're asking and the criteria for a variance, and I can understand that. Okay, that clarifies that up. Thank you.
Well, thank you. That's helpful.
Okay. Hearing no further questions?
I have one question.
All right, Mr. Dorby.
Where is the drainage going? You said underground? How's that working?
I think the question...
That was more my question.
Yeah, I think the question that was asked was whether or not the pond that's there now, whether you could effectively convert that area instead of an open area pond to an underground storage and be able to put parking over top, which is somewhat standard with newer developments, especially on commercial properties. The problem with it is that the pond itself, the volume that's being given for the pond, the open air pond, is quite substantial.
in order to get that equivalent area, what you would need to meet state stormwater standards, you would need an area quite a bit larger than what they're now, simply for the fact that the majority of that is going to be taken up by a parking lot and the compaction of the ground underneath. You're still going to have the chambers that are used for the stormwater storage, but in order to get an equivalent area to what the pond provides, you would have to make a much more substantial impact to the property itself just to get the area that you need equivalent to what the open air pond provides.
Yeah, the question I got, where is this water going? Where is it going to put this at now? Underground, but where at?
It would be adjacent to where the addition is going to be.
Underneath?
No, not underneath. No,
not underneath.
Not underneath the addition. No, the state code requires that it at a minimum be 10 feet away from the structure.
10 feet away.
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
Certainly okay. Wouldn't be cost effective, wouldn't it, to put it underground from what you're saying?
If it were, if the site itself was a blank slate and it were to be done all over again, the easiest to do, especially with a commercial property that's more valuable, would be just to put it underground.
Right. Okay. Okay. But now, the way it's sitting right now,
this is the best way to
correct. The previous owner or the owner before that, whatever the iteration was of the ownership beforehand, you know, more than likely at the time, their decision was to make it the development as cost effective as possible, which is to do an open air pond
Sure. Instead
of maximizing the property area.
It's a lot more expensive.
It is more expensive, but again, it really gets into, because that's something that we kind of took a look at. But the equivalent, again, that equivalent area is just, it's rather large when you look at the area that you need compared to what you're actually given in a pond of that size. Okay.
This is the first time I've seen this underground. I'm not always seeing the pond, the drainage pond. This is the first time I've seen this one.
There's a good example of it, if you're familiar, is on the outlets on, what would it be, I guess, heading towards Rehoboth on Route 1. The first ones you come to on your right, if you're heading towards Rehoboth, there's a TD Bank.
Uh-huh.
And that bank and all those parking lots right around it are built over top of underground stormwater management. So it's, there's a lot, you can explain it better than I can, I'm sure, but there's sort of preformed cells under there that hold the water, and then they, you know, pave over top of it. So
there's arc-shaped chambers where you can effectively create, over-excavate 4 to 6 feet down, however deep you can with your soil limitations, and you can put a stone base down and then just by hand just set these chambers in place. They're very lightweight. They're very effective, as was mentioned, just to be able to maximize the value of your commercial space. And again, if you're doing it as a blank slate, if this were being done as a blank slate, then I don't think that
any questions. Have any issue. Okay.
But you'd probably have to re-engineer the whole stormwater.
It would be a
system.
Significant impact to the site to go to that extent.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. I think actually John's comment go to your six elements to the minimum necessary to do this. They're just disturbing this and didn't create any, take away any other impervious for parking. So it's sort of a minimal approach.
Okay. Okay. Hearing no further questions. Are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Would you please come forward and be sworn in?
I suppose if both you gentlemen could come up to the podium and just give your names, we'll swear you both in at the same time.
Jerron Duffy.
Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do. It sure is.
Thank you.
Okay. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
How you doing? Just so it's brought to your attention right now with the stormwater sewer management that they have there, I believe that both of those parcels use that same drainage pond, which is God's Way and the hotel. So I think you just need to make a note of that and look into that.
Okay.
Because we have had a problem with that, so.
All right.
Okay, and another thing I want to touch on, he said that I was putting fence and gates up because I have had a problem with congestion parking with everybody that's in contact with my land. So I want to touch base on that.
All right.
And There's a 25-foot easement that runs between me and the hotel, which is the easement for Mr. Duffy. And that easement is supposed to be just for the Duffy family, and it's a fire lane. And they're getting deliveries. They get their trash picked up. They have to go across my land to get the trash picked up. So that's a few things that I want you to look at on the easement. Mm-hmm. And decreasing the parking spots and increasing the hotel rooms, I feel it's going to make a big impact on me and the surrounding businesses.
Okay. Actually, Mr. Sanford, I'm sorry, Mr. Hazard.
Yep.
They are increasing the number of parking spaces, not decreasing.
The size of them, right?
The number of
spaces. The number,
of
not spaces. The size, the number.
They're increasing the hotel, increasing the number of spaces, but it's less than the required number of spaces for the hotel increase. And as I understand it from what Mr. Lang said, or Ms. Cornwell, they're already less now than what's required. Is the current status non-conforming?
That I could not answer without doing a little bit of research.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you'd said that or not.
Okay.
So they're increasing an increase in the parking spots?
Yeah, I guess the way you could look at it is they're increasing the hotel size, they're increasing the number of spaces, but to a number that's less than what's required. So if it's supposed to be 1.5 spaces per hotel room, what they're asking for is a number that's increased, but only to 1.2 spaces per hotel room.
So we're making them smaller.
I think they're adding spaces, maybe, but also restriping it is what it sounded like. Yeah, to make this, because the code changed. It used to be, 10 by 20, and now it's 162 square feet per parking space. So other places have done it where they just, blacktop over it or recode it and then just reline the spaces to the smaller size. And if you get smaller spaces, you can fit more spaces into the same area. So that may be what they're doing, too.
Okay. Mr. Hazard.
Let me ask you something. What affects the right-of-way between there? What if you said they use it to pick up their pickups?
For deliveries.
Right.
And the trash removal.
Okay. So that's nothing
to
do
with... They have to come on me to back up to get
it. I understand, but that has nothing to do with parking, does it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just want to get that straight.
No, it doesn't.
If they increase that parking area, okay, let's say they did, would that affect that right away to you? I mean, you mentioned that, so I want to make sure it doesn't.
It's not
going to
affect you.
Okay, so it doesn't affect you there. It doesn't, Mr. Duffy, does that affect you?
Only that on occasions people will park in that roadway to take care of business in the American Inn. In other words, they won't park in the parking lots in the front, they park in the roadway in the back. Now, if you increase the size of the building, there's more going on there, there's more parked in the roadway.
Well, this has happened, I don't know how long they've been open, but this has happened through the years, right? And
yes, and it's
not,
been...
I'm trying to figure out where this additional parking is going to impact the both of you.
Well, it impacts us because in some cases, you're talking one car per parking, but in some cases, there is a boat trailer that comes with the car. It takes a space. Then the vehicle takes a space. I have seen tractor and trailers come in. They will park in that same area that they're talking about using to build the motel. Now, if a larger vehicle comes in, where will it go? Sometimes what they'll do is they'll come off onto an area that's not being used, which would in fact be rear of the building, because those parking spaces are not set up for a vehicle of that size, a bus or tractor and trailer. And in some cases, like right now, there is a container sitting there. It's taking up three spaces.
So you feel that an increase in parking spaces is going to increase that activity?
It will definitely increase it because...
Is that what you're trying to tell the
board? Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Or increase the parking spaces or increase the size of the hotel is going to...
Well, increasing the size of the hotel will... And if you're going to give more parking because the hotel is going to get larger, it's going to also cause more in the whole surrounding area because vehicles that cannot actually fit into car parking spaces have got to go somewhere.
So where is there some kind of barrier there that you for that right of way?
It was, but it's been removed.
Is that the hotel's fault or is that your fault?
Not exactly, but that same area that you're talking about, if I can show you on the map, maybe.
Sure.
Okay. That same area, your Godsway thrift shop and the motel is here. All right, this same area coming through here.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get down to here, this was actually blocked off and you could not come through. But okay. What's happening now is if this area over here becomes more congested, bigger vehicles have got to go somewhere. They will come through here, and this part right here, which is now a part of, this is called Sesler Drive. That's not really Sesler Drive over here. This is our, this is their access, their pawn. This is supposed to furnish this place with access. Instead, this is where they're proposing with the additional parking, this is where they're proposing to put the motel. So this is parking spaces that's going to leave.
No. That's not the way we understand that.
No.
That's if you take that road there...
That's the way it will be.
No, that's not the way it was presented to us.
Mark, can you stand up and show them where the new building's going to be?
The new building, this area would be right in this area. So the sidewalk would remain the landscape here.
You're going to get 22 rooms in this area?
This area. It's a two-story,
yes,
it's a two-story hotel.
Okay.
Right.
So your larger vehicles, I mean, you're going to have something coming in besides cars. They're going to have to, these spaces here don't hardly get used at all. But there will be at that particular time. And then the overflow, you put in 22 more rooms, I think it was. You put in the 22 more rooms, and you've got 10 spaces that are not even being used now. And you're putting in 22 rooms. Okay, those 22 rooms come with cars. And they're going to have to park somewhere. So you put in one larger vehicle, you park them there, and then what's going to happen? In other words, you increase the size of the... Well, okay, the whole thing is the parking spaces. Parking is going to come with... The rooms are going to come with parking.
Mm-hmm. And they're provided parking.
Yes, and you're going to decrease the size of the parking spaces so you can get more in. But then you're going to have more cars that come in, and you've got spaces here that are not even being used. Why are you... needing a variance. These very rarely get used.
Is that their property?
Yes. Yes. This is a part of this property. This here is. They very rarely get used. The only time they get used is if a larger vehicle comes in, like a tractor trailer or a bus. I've seen a bus park over there. That's it.
Okay. They'll have a chance to answer that question.
Okay.
All right.
What about the other side? Let's go to the other side there where you said there's a right-of-way there. There's barriers in there. Is that correct?
They were, but they've been removed because...
By whom?
The guy that owns this property here.
God's Way?
Yes.
Was there a reason why he moved it? Did you ask him or anybody know?
Yes, there's a problem with that now. That's why Mr. Sharp excused himself.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, right. That's fine. Right. That takes care of that. That's good.
So that has nothing to do with the hotel.
With the hotel, then.
Okay.
In a way, it does.
Not really. If it's a separate issue, let's just stay with that hotel then.
But what happens is, already you've got a congested area through here, that's a part of the hotel. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now you're gonna decrease the size of your parking, so that more cars can park in. But you haven't taken care of the size of the larger vehicle. That's going to be parked there too.
I'm sure, Counselor, you know what he's pointing to here and referring to, so you can answer those questions. And Mr. Sanford, do you agree with him? Or? That's the area. That where's your place in relative to this?
Right there.
Right there, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And they've had buses and stuff pulled over here, but this is now leased by the cantina for their parking. So I see where Mr. Duffy's going on the tractor trailers and the buses. And, I mean.
So they were on the other side of the river, but I just leased, and now they're coming over here. Is that what you're saying? Mm-hmm. So they didn't create that then, right? The property got leased, what created them going over there then, right? The buses and it's.
Right.
So then it's not really created by the applicant then. They didn't create this problem, you know, that you're all having then, right? Is that what you're saying? They didn't create it. That's what I'm asking, correct?
Did what
create what?
When that property got leased, those tractor trailers or buses and thing have gone over and parked with these 10 spaces that you're talking about. Prior to that, they parked over on that other side.
Correct.
Okay, that was my question.
Right.
All right.
Yes.
Okay.
I just don't want the overflow
coming into your
to come on to me.
Okay, I understand that, but I just want to be clarified then, you know, that they wasn't doing it all the time.
Right.
That they've been there, so they didn't create that, them people coming over there. Mm-hmm. Okay, because it was done because of the other side there. They probably got leased right. That cantina.
Right.
Okay. That was my question.
He was explaining it very well of what your objection is.
I
want to hear from, you know, the applicant addressing those objections.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I understand that better now, though, so it wasn't that. I mean, the buses you're saying and stuff come in, so nobody would need those parking places. They wasn't there then, but so these buses come in there, then these tractor trailers saying now it's creating the problem and the hardship, not them. And what they're going to be having, correct? Because they're going to be putting 22 rooms.
I'm not sure I'm following that. Just because I just want to make sure we're clear on the record. So the way I understand it is the parking lot across Airport Road
right.
was tied in with the Food Lion Shopping Center.
Exactly.
Okay.
And they were parking there for a while.
The America Inn buses.
Tractor trailers.
Okay. And so next what happened is the cantina or whatever leased that space for their parking.
Now they moved over there, but...
So the tractor
trailer. So if there's two and a bus,
they got to come back and park on the America Inn property. Is what you're saying?
Okay. That's the way you explained it. Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Mills.
Mr. Hazard, your property is adjacent on the east side of this property. Is that correct?
Correct.
Mr. Duffy, where's your property?
My property uses that road, that right of way through there for access.
Okay.
And it goes like this.
Okay. So your property is not adjacent to the property, but behind it?
Not adjacent or touching either.
Okay.
And just the easement.
Just the easement. It.
Okay. Mr. Hazard, have you observed people, patrons from the hotel, parking in your parking lot in the past?
Not during regular hours.
Okay.
I've had them park in front of my actual doors and some of the management, and I've posted.
After hours.
Well,
at any time.
Said, yeah. Please do not park here. Now I've posted it. Now I have to put barriers up.
Sure.
So.
Okay. So it has been.
Yes.
You've observed a problem from their management or employees and patrons. Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Hazard, if that's an easement, and I asked the question why it was blocked off, and Mr. Duffy says how I get access to my property is up that easement. Is that correct?
Correct.
Well, if it's blocked off, how can you have access to your...
How can you have access to his property?
It was blocked off.
It's different.
Here, for God's Way, they were using that as a commercial entrance.
Okay, but how do you get to his property?
The easement goes all the way down behind God's Way.
It was blocked off right here. He, this is his...
Oh, okay. Right he just made a left and went to his property.
Okay, fine. All right, you've just from that point to the road.
So access to God's Way is on the west side of
it's
the
applicant's right
property.
Right
okay.
There, right. It's
okay.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
For the hotel, too.
The hotel and God's Way.
Okay.
That's a shared entrance. Not this. This is an easement for Mr. Duffy.
Okay.
And it was blocked off here, but that's another issue.
You went from God's Way to... Okay.
So, and the bottom line is you're not in favor of it at all.
No.
Is that correct?
No.
Neither one. Okay. All right, then.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir. Okay, is there anyone else here in opposition? Last call. Okay. Hearing no other opposition, Chair will entertain a motion.
I'd like to have
I'm sorry?
I'd like to hear their response.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
In reference to responding to some of that?
Okay, yes. One question. The parking places on the opposite side, would you consider, have you considered them too?
Yes.
They're figuring in that too?
Yeah, they're the ones that I think Mr. Duffy made some interesting points, but one he made is the point that we're trying to make, that these are rarely used and they're available for our customers. I think he was pointing to these.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
10 or 11 there?
Yeah. 10, I think they're 13.
Oh, okay.
And you reduced the size of those too.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I think, you know,
not that center.
American wants to be a good neighbor, and they don't want overflow for their customers, and they don't expect nor they have experienced overflow over here. And I know they've maybe had some problems up here. They own this 25-foot easement. Mr. Duffy has the right to use that. It's a cross-access easement to they've owned property down here for centuries.
Right.
But American owns this, and they use it. There's a dumpster here.
Right.
They pick up trash there. And they Lynn also tells me that occasionally that there's a delivery there, but they don't park in here. As far as tractor trailers, I just asked Lynn, and you can call her up if you'd like, that in the course of a year, they may have a dozen truck drivers that use their and it's never in the summertime. Their arrangement now is that they ask permission to park down here, and God's Way lets them park down there. It's not a huge number. So they're, I think, as far as them being concerned that the expansion of the hotel will create overflow, it's been our historical evidence that it won't, it hasn't, and we've actually increased the spaces to make sure it's not, albeit not as much as your code requires. And I mean, you see that sometimes, you know, rarely have I seen food line filled, but then you see the outlets filled. This statute may require, I don't know what the logic was, to 1.5 per hotel room, assuming there'd be two cars, but in their case, and we've given you 5 years, it's rarely used. Mr. Duffy has been there for a long time, also attests that they rarely see those filled.
Oh, right.
So, but this, to be clear about this is a cross-access easement, which gives Mr. Duffy the right to go that
right
way.
Okay. But he was concerned that it's blocked sometimes, right?
Is well, that I asked Lynn if they've had complaints, but we'd be happy to talk to them if there are times, you know, and try to schedule it. It's their property. Americans owns it. They have a right to access their property.
If
it's being blocked unreasonably for any reason, we need to know about it. We're not aware of any complaints. And we don't have a dog in this fight as far as God's Way blocking that off. But
okay,
I can see why Mr. Duffy wanted it blocked, because people are cutting through using his easement.
Right.
And on our land, or my client's land, so.
Right. Okay.
Can I answer your question?
I think so. Any further questions?
All right.
Any other? No further ones again? Okay, then Chair will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to take case number 11602 and put it under advisement.
Okay, do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Rickard and a second by Mr. Workman that we take case number 11602 under advisement. All those in favor of the motion? Mr. Mills?
Aye.
Mr. Hudson?
Aye.
Again, Mr. Rickard?
Aye.
And Mr. Workman?
Aye.
And I'm Mr. Calloway. So by a vote of 5-0, case number 11602 has been taken under advisement. What that means, there may be a decision made here later on this evening. You could stay if you would like, or you may call the office in the morning after 9. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next case,